Today's shir is a Masechta Shkolim Daf Yud Ches. We will begin with the fourth word on the top line of Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Tani. The Meforshim delete the first three words on the Amud. The Korban Ha'Eda says, U'menoira B'tzofen Loi Gar Sinan, and the Taklan Chadathan leaves out the third word, V'ha, as well, and therefore we will begin with the fourth word, Tani. Tani we learnt in a Brisa. HaShulchan Hoyanosun Michatsi Habayis Ulfnim. We discussed yesterday that the Heichol took up 40 Amos, and going from east to west in the Beis Hamikdash, after the Heichol, one came to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which took up another 20 Amos. So the entire space was one of 60 Amos. The Shulchan was placed in the Heichal, in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it was Mechatzi HaBayis Ulefnim, the Bayis referring to the 40 Amos of the Heichal. If one was walking from east to west, he would go into the Heichal 20 Amos, and there in the second 20 Amos, at the beginning of those second 20 Amos, he would find the Menorahs Hazov. He would find the Shulchan as well, and the Mizbeach Hazov. He would find the Shulchan, and he would find the Menorah, all those three. So the Shulchan was put in the second 20 Amos. That's Chatzi Habayis Ulefnim. Moshech Men HaKoysel. It was away from the northern wall of the Beis HaMikdash, Beis Amos U'Mechza, 2.5 Amos, Klape HaTzofen, away from the northern wall. The reason for this is, as the Gemara tells us in Masechta Menachos on Daf Tzadik Tes Amud Beis, that there was a requirement that a pair of Kahanim would walk side by side along that northern wall and on the north side of the Shulchan, and they were carrying the new stacks of the Lechem Haponim, and it was necessary in order for two people to walk in a pair that there would be a space of 2.5 Amos, and that's why the Shulchan was moved away from the northern wall 2.5 Amos. Continues the Gemara, U'menoira kenegdoi badorim. The menorah, the golden menorah, faced the Shulchan on the opposite side of the Heichal, on the southern side, as the Pasuk tells us in Shmois, V'samto ha-menorah noichach ha-shulchan, that the menorah should face the Shulchan. And because of this, we learn out that just like the Shulchan was 2.5 Amos away from the northern wall, the menorah was 2.5 Amos away from the southern wall. Whatever happened to the Shulchan on the north side was equal to, in the case of the menorah, on the south side. Mizbeach Hazov, Hoyanosun Be'emtza Habayis, the golden Mizbeach on which the Torah was brought, that was in the Emtza Habayis, that was in halfway of the bayis. Chaylik is a bayis mechetzer ulufnim. In other words, that the menorah and the shulchan were in the second 20 amos of the heichal, as we discussed before. But the mizbeach hazov was not right in the middle between the menorah and the shulchan, because then we would not be able to fulfill the pasuk v'samta ha-menorah noichach ha-shulchan, that the menorah was facing the shulchan and the shulchan was facing the menorah. If the mizbeach hazov would be in between them, we would have a problem that they would not be facing each other. Therefore, the menorah and the shulchan were in the second half of the bayis, in the second 20 amos, closer to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, whereas the Mizbeach Hazov was sticking out. It was still within those 20 Amos, those second 20 Amos, but it was not between the Shulchan and the Menorah, but rather it was sticking out, and it was closer to the halfway mark of the 40 Amos, That's what the Gemara here says. It was be'emtza bayis chaylikas abayis. It divided the bayis in length. If somebody was walking from east to west, he would go through the first 20 amas of the Heichal. There was no kalim there at all. And then the first keli that he would hit at the midpoint would be the Mizbeach Hazov, which in fact divided thereby the Heichal, this bias into the first 20 amas and into the second 20 amas. It divided it. And at the beginning of the second 20 amas, that's where one would find the Mizbeach Hazov, and further down he would find the Shulchan and the Menorah. It was Mechetz Shavulufnim, Moshech Kima Klape Chutz. The Gra takes out the word Kima, because if we leave the word Kima in, it would indicate that it was a little, Kima means it was a little bit moved towards the Chutz, and one could mistakenly think that that means that a part of the Mizbeach Hazov, a little bit of it was Chutz, was in the first 20 Amos. And that is that would be incorrect. One is not allowed to have the Mizbeach Hazov in the first 20 Amos. So the Gra takes out the word Kima, and then it means Moshech Kalapi Chutz, means that the Mizbeach Hazov, as we explained before, was a little bit taken out from the other two kelim, since the Menorah and the Mishulchan had to be noichach, they had to be facing one another. It could not have a separation with the Mizbeach Hazov. Therefore, the Mizbeach Hazov was taken a little bit out. It was still within the second 20 Amos, but it was taken out from the Menorah and the Shulchan. Therefore, it was like a triangle, with the top of the triangle being the Mizbeach Hazov, and the bottom of the triangle would be the Shulchan and the Menorah. The Kula Hoyanasin Mishlisha Baislufnim, and this was done within the third of the bias. And the Meforshim explained that one should not think that this contradicts what we said before. We said before that all these kalim were in half of the bias. So the Meforshim explained that from the 40 amos, which was the Heichal, indeed all these three kalim were put in the second half, in the second 20 amos. When it says over here a third, it means if you take the Kodesh HaKadoshim into consideration as well, now you're speaking about 60 Amos. So then Ein Echanami, the first 20 Amos, there were no Kalim, and the Kalim began with the Mizbeach Hazov in the second 20 Amos, which is following a third of the total space of 60 amas. So it's half of the 40 amas of the Heichal, and it's a third of the total space, including the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is 60. Then it comes out after the first third, that's when the Kalim began. Continues the Gemara, Esther Menaris Asher Shleima, Shleima HaMelech, just like he made 10 Shulchanis, he also made 10 Menaris, Shenemar. Vayas Es Menaris Hazov, Asher Kimishpatoi, and the correct reading of this word is kimishpatam, that Shlomo HaMelech made the 10 menorahs exactly like the menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu Gershon Menachas and Daf Tzadik Chesamid Bey says that just like the menorah of Moshe had kafta v'ferach, etc., it had flowers and knobs and cups, so too did these, each one of the 10 menorahs that Shlomo HaMelech made. Vayitin beheichal, he put it into the heichal. Hey, mi yamin, 5 were on the right side. The chamesh mi yamin, the chamesh mismoil, and 5 were on the left side. Ein tamar, chamesh b'tzaf of chamesh b'dorim. We had a similar gemara yesterday concerning the shulchanos, and this word, the first word, Aleph Yud Nun, could be read Ein Tamer, do not say, and that's how we explained it yesterday, do not say that was Chamesh B'tzaf of Chamesh B'dorim. because then we'll have a problem that the menorahs always had to be in the dorim and not in the tzofen. Just like yesterday we had a problem with the 10 shulchanis that all of them had to be betzofen and not in dorim. So you cannot say that there were 5 in the north and 5 in the south, that yamin and smol refers to north and south. As we explained yesterday, that south is called the yamin if one is facing the eastern entrance and his back is towards the Kodesh HaKadosh, which was to the west, then on his right side he comes to Darom. So Ein Tamer, do not say that. Or one could read it in Tamer if you would say. In Tamer, if you would say that Chomish B'Tzofen V'Chomish B'Darim, that right and left refers to Darim and Tzofen, V'Haloi Einam and Narek Sheira El B'Darim, that would cause a problem. Because the menorah is only kosher in the south side. Shenemar V'Sam Menorah Noichech HaShulchan Al Yerech HaMishkan, or the correct word here, should the Meforshim tell us, is not Yerech, but it's Tzela. It's on the side of the Mishkan, Teimona, which is to the south. So you cannot say, or if you say, then you'll have a problem if you would say that. The bottom line is that this is an untenable position to say that the 10 menorahs were in a row from north to south, because then 5 of the menorahs would be on the northern side. Ma Talmud Loimer Chamish Mimin Chamish Mismal. So what is the pshat that it was to the right and left? If it's not north and south, what is the pshat that there were 5 menorahs to the right and 5 to the left? Ella Chamish Mimin Menorah Sishal Moishev Chamish Mismal. They were taka all to the south, but they were in a row that there were 5 to the right of Moshe's and 5 to the left, but all of them were on the southern side, because it was not from north to south, but rather it was from east to west, and it was all on the southern side of the Beis HaMikdash. Afal Pikein, even though you had these 11 menorahs, one of Moshe and the 10 additional that Shlomo made, Lo Hayomav Ela Shel Moshe Bavad, that the Kohen would only light the menorah of Moshe alone, Shenemar Menorahs Hazov and Neraseh Levar Be'erv Be'erv, each evening the menorah, the one menorah was lit, and that was the one of Moshe. Rabbi Yosef Bei Rabbi Yehuda, just like yesterday, Rabbi Yosef Bei Yehuda held that any one of the shulchanos could be used with a lechem upon him, including the 10 additional that Shlomo built. So also he has the same opinion here when it comes to the menorahs. Rabbi Yosef Bei Yehuda Omer al kulan hayomavir, he had a choice to be mavir any of the 10 menorahs, or the including Moshe's, which would make a total of 11, shenemar, because we have a pasuk which tells us that actually they were plural and not singular. This is a pasuk taken from Divrei Hayamim, Ves HaMenoros, the many menorahs, V'Neiroseyem, Levarim, Kemishpat, Lifnei Advir, in front of the Kodesh Kedoshim, and what was it made out of? Zohav Sogur, closed Zohav, and which this means that it was closed, it was a pure gold, that when this gold was offered on the market, then all other gold, all other stores closed their shop. Rashi tells us in the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Mem Hei, Zohav Sogur, all other shops closed their doors. They didn't compete when this Zohav Sogur was offered on the market. V'haperech v'aneres ha'mokachayim, the flowers and the neres of the menorah and the tongues were all made out of zov. Hu mechloi zov. What does it mean that it finished the zov? Hein kilu zahavoi shel Moshe. Or, the, as others are gairus here, not shel Moshe, but shel Shlomo. That this ended by using this gold, it ended the gold of Shlomo. Now, what is the pshat? It ended the gold of Shlomo. Shlomo, we find ein kesef nechshav bimei Shlomo lima umma. Silver was not worth anything the days of Shlomo because there was so much gold. So, what does it mean that because of these menorahs, it ended the gold of Shlomo? So the Meforshim explained it ended the zov sogur, that fine gold, that pure 100% pure gold, einachanami. In order to make that pure gold for all these menorahs, that ended the pure gold. Shlomo had much other gold, but the Zov Sogur was completed through, it was ended through building all of these menorahs. Tani, we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Asi, ha'yishloim anaitel elef kikrei zov. In order to make one kikr of pure gold, he had to take 1,000 kikrim of zov, u'machnisim l'kuri, would bring it into a kiln, u'moitzian, and he would smelt down the impure gold, ad shehu ma'amidon al echad, until finally got one a kikor of pure gold, l'kayim ha'shenemar, to fulfill that which it says in the pasuk, kikor zarav tor asoisa. He made it out of a pure golden kikor, and in order to get to that one pure golden kikor, it was necessary to smelt down 1,000 of the impure ones. And this he did for each and every one of his 10 menorahs. Tanya, we learned in Abraisa, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa b'menorah zohav. And here we are going to go to the girsa of the Nuschois HaBavli, and the same girsa is found in the Korban Eda on the fourth wide line. Maisa b'menorahs hamigdash shahoisa yisera menorah shasa maisha b'midbar dinar zov. V'hichnisu l'kur pei pa'amim v'leichaser ha'esh mimishkala. So the story over here is that in the menorah of the Migdash of Shlomo HaMelech, it was more than the menorah of Moshe with one dinner, and it means it had some impurity. They were trying to get it down to the exact weight of Moshe's, and what they did is they brought it into a kiln 80 times, and the fire, which was burning that gold, was unable to make the weight go down. And there's two ways to learn over here. Either by quoting this braisa, it itself is a question on what we learned before. Because we learned before that he took 1,000 kikorim and he smelted it down, and it came down to one kikor. So what the Gemara is asking is, you told me before that by smelting it down it would decrease it, and here we see they tried 80 times to decrease it and they couldn't. So according to this pshat, we will say v'yeus, that is not a problem, that is very truly possible. Why? Because ad la yikam al brare have chaser sagin. Until you get it to its pure state, it loses a lot of weight. But minda kaim abarei. But once you've brought it down to its pristine level, loy chaser klum, then you can do it 80 times and it won't be missing anything. So the menorah in the time of the Shlomo, which they tried to smelt down 80 times and nothing happened, that's very possible. They couldn't get it any lower. They had reached the pristine purity of the gold, and therefore, even doing it 80 times, they were unable to diminish it anymore. The Korban Ha'eda learns that the Gemara quotes that Maisa with the menorah of the Migdash, and then the Gemara says, V'yeus, is that truly so? The V'yeus is not a statement that it is possible, but rather the Gemara is asking, V'yeus, is that possible? And as the Korban Eda says, Uporach V'yeus bitmiya v'chikachu, is it so that Shlomo brought it down when he smelted 1,000 kikorim, he made one, is that in fact true? But now you're telling me that they tried 80 times to get the menorah down one dinner. It says the Korban Eda, V'aloi ein neinu royois kishenaisen zov bekur ba'ei shunechzer. How could you tell me they tried to get it down to lose that one dinner, and they smelted it down 80 times, and nothing happened? Kasha v'yeus, is that possible? Our eyes see that in fact the gold always, when it's burnt, it's in fire, it does diminish. So how could you tell me here v'loy chasr klum, that nothing happened to it? The Gemara answers, it depends. If you're full of impurities, every time you use fire on it, it diminishes. But here, where it was in its pristine state, even you could do it 80 times and nothing will happen. Continues the next Mishnah, Shloish Asur Shofers Hayu B'Migdash. this is going back on the Mishnah before that we learned on Daf Tezvav Amud Beis, where the Mishnah told us that there were 15 in the first Mishnah in this Perek. It began with the following words, Shloisha Asur Shaifras. There were 13 Shaifras in the Migdash. And now our Mishnah is going to tell us the names of those 13 collection pushkas, those collection chests that were in the Beis HaMikdash, what their names were and what the purpose of each one was. Let us begin with the names. Shloisha Asur Shaifras Hayu B'Migdash, Uksov, Ukasov, Alei, and it was written on them. Each one had a name written on it in Aramaic, and the Tosfos Yontif explains it was written in Lashon Aramis because that was the Lashon Am, that was the language of the people, so it was written according to the language that they spoke. And what was written on them? The following. The first one was Taklin Charitin, the second was Taklin Atikin, the third Kinin, the fourth Vigoizli Oila, and the next one Eitzim, the next one Lavona, the next one Zohav Lekapyrus, this was gold for the Kli Sharis. There's a Machlokes Rishonim whether just the word Zohav was written, and the missionary was telling me what the Zohav was used for, or whether in fact it was written Zohav Lekapyrus on that particular shofar. And that leaves a total of seven, and Shishol and Adava, the rest was six remaining. The six remaining, each one had the word Nedava written on it. And now the Mishnah will explain each of these shofaros. Taklin Charitin. Taklin means in Aramaic Shkolim. Charitin is new. And this is where the Pirush Taklin Charitin gets the name of his Pirush from these words. So this was a shofar which had on it the Aramaic words Taklin Charitin. And what was the purpose of it? Shebechol Shana Vishana. These were the shkolim that each current year where the people would drop their nedava of the Machzaz HaShekel for that year. Then you had the next one upon which was written the next shayfer, Atikin. V'Atikin, what was that for? Mishalai Hevi Ishtakin. As someone who didn't bring last year, he owed Hegdish from last year, he would put his Machzis HaShekel into the one which was written Atikin. Mishalei Hevi Ishtaket, somebody who didn't bring last year, who didn't give Shekel Ishana, boy, he would give the next year to make up for what he lost the year before, what he owed from the year before. Kinin, the third one upon which was written the word Kinin, this refers, Hain Torin, this refers to the turtle doves that were used for karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. The Goizlei Oila, and the one upon which was written Goizlei Oila, what is that referred to? Hain B'nei Yoina. That's when a person was giving money to bring a Ben Yona, a young pigeon, he would put it into that shofar. Now we have a Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Kulon Oila, Yistivi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that these were all used for nedavos. If someone had to bring a kinim as a chatas and a olo where he was mechuyev to bring it, for example, a woman who was a yoledes or a zava, where they brought kinim as a choiv, that was not put into a shofar, as the Gemara will explain why. And that had to be brought, either the kinim had to be brought directly, the birds to the Kohen, or the money given to the Kohen directly. It was not put into a shofar according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chacham disagree. Kinin echad chatas vechloila. The kinin that was made for the bird pairs where a person was mechuyev, and the Chachamim hold that you did put it into the kinin. It was not given directly to the Kohen. And Goizlei Oila, Kulon Oila. There, by the Goizlei Oila, there you put the Nedavos, that was put into the shofar, which had on it the words Goizlei Oila. And the Gemara will explain what the Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether a Chova was put into the shofars or not. We will understand the Machlokes when we get to the Gemara. Ha'omer, if somebody said, Hare Olai Eitzim, that I want to donate Eitzim. Because it's possible for a person to donate Eitzim is also a korban. The Eitzim, the wood which was used for the marocha on top of the Mizbeach, if he says the word Eitzim Stam, he doesn't just say how many Eitzim he's giving. Lo Yifchas Mishnei Gezirin. He should not give either less money or donate the wood itself, less than two blocks of wood. If he says Levoina Stam, he wants to give frankincense, so Lo Yifchas Mikoimetz, he should not give less than a Koimetz, a fistful. Either give the money, put it into the shofar, or donate the actual kaimetz to the Beis HaMikdash. Zahav, if he says stam gold, la yifchais mi dinner zahav, you should not give less than a dinner zahav. And then we had shishol and nedava, six for nedava. In all the things that we mentioned before, the eitzim, the levon and the zahav, if the person specifies that he wants to give something less, he could. But the Mishnah was speaking about where he said stam, and then by Eitzim it's Shnei Gizrin, by Gzirin, by Lavona it's a Kometz, and by Zov it's a stam, is a dinner Zov. Shishol Nadava, Nadava Mahayoysim Ba. What did they do with the money that was donated for the Nadava? Loichim Ba Oilis. They used to take Oilis. Habasul Lashem. The Hashem on the Mizbeach, they used to burn the meat of an olive, oros, and the skins of the Kohanim used to go to the Kohanim. Zem Medrash Dorish Yoyada Kohen Gadol. Yoyada Kohen Gadol said the following drash on this pasuk: Asham Hu Asham Asham Lashem. Yoyada the Kohen Gadol saw Astira from the beginning of the pasuk to the end of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk said Asham Hu, it's a regular Asham, and we know by regular Asham the meat goes to the Kayat, but then the concluding part of the pasuk said Asham Asham Hashem, that it goes to Hashem, and this is a stira. Does it go to the Kayat or does it go to Hashem? So Zeh HaKlal, this is how Yoyada Kohen Gadol answered this apparent stira. Kol Shehu Ba Mishum Chatos Mishum Asham, anything that came as a result of a chatas or as a result of an asham, and it was meiser, it was extra, it was left over, the person had donated too much, what happens with that extra money? The lakach b'hen oilis, then you should buy, yilkach b'hen oilis, you should buy oilis. And now, habasur l'ashem, the basur gets burnt on the mizbeach, that goes l'ashem. The iris look at him, the iris go to Kahanim. Nimtsu snake suvim kayavim. It comes out that we're able to fulfill both parts of the pasuk. Asham l'Hashem, v'asham l'kayin. The Asham can belong to Hashem and can also belong to the kayin. By bringing an oila, that's what the pasuk is speaking about. If person had meiser Asham or meiser chatas, chatas is learned from Asham. We have a pasuk kachatas ka'ashem, which equates a chatas with an ashem. So wherever you have a moiser chatas or a moiser ashem, what do? You bring an oila. If you bring an oila, you're mekayim that it remains ashem, who, that the meat goes like a regular ashem to the kayin, and you're also mekayim the second part of the pasuk, ashem, ashem, lashem, that the meat by an oila will go to the mizbeach, that goes to Hashem, and you're also mekayim Asham Hu, that something goes to the Kohen, va'asham l'Kohen, because the skins will go to the Kohanim. And where do we find a pasuk that shows us that Yoyada darshan this? Because we have a pasuk in Malachim Beis which says Kesef Asham v'Kesef Chatas Lo Yuvu Beis Hashem. It should not be brought for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. It should not go totally to Hashem. Like Kohanim, you should go to the Kohanim. Now, this pasuk says Darsheni. You have to make a drush here. Pashup Shat doesn't make sense. Why? Because we know that the money of an Ashram, the money of the Chattis, doesn't belong to the Kohanim. You have to bring a... it doesn't go into their pockets. You have to bring a korban ashram or a korban chatas. What does it mean that the money of the ashram should go to the kohanim? The kohanim don't pocket the money. Elamai, it must mean that it's leftover money which was used for an ashram or for a chatas. What happens to that moiser ashram and the moiser chatas? So the pasuk is telling you, lo yuve beis Hashem, la kohanim yiyu. It's given to the kohanim. So the Taisus Yantiv asks a question. Maybe the pasuk is telling you that you should buy an ashem with it. The meiser ashem, meiser chatas should be pooled together until you can buy an ashem and a chatas with it, which is what it was designated to begin with. You used the money for an ashem and a chatas. You had leftover money. Maybe you use it again for another ashem, another chatas. He says that can't be, because if that's what the Torah would have wanted, so the Torah should just have said, the Torah didn't have to say lekoyhanim yiyu, because obviously that if it's an asham, the Torah should have said kesef asham v'kesef chatas asham yiyu, it'll be an asham, and obviously an asham goes to the kohanim. So elamai, that's what we must darshan, that it becomes an oila. And what the Torah wants to tell you is that it doesn't go to the Beis Hashem, to the Bet HaKabayis, and it's totally to Hashem. It has to be shared between Hashem and the Kohanim. And what the pasuk is being mechadish here is, of course, part of it goes to Hashem, but the Kohanim Yiyu, that the Kohanim still get, even though part of it goes to Hashem, the meat's going to go to Hashem by an oila, but there's going to be the skin that's going to go to the Kohanim. So this pasuk in Melachim Beis, it demonstrates the drosha that the Yehoyada, the Kohen Gadol, made, that when a person has Moiser Chatas and Moiser Asham, that what happens with it is that an oil is brought, and then we're Mekayim Asham Hu, Asham Asham Lashem, that the meat goes to Hashem and the skins go to the Kohanim. Begins the Gemara. Tanya, we learned in the Brayse, Amar of Yehuda, Loi HaYashayfer Shalkinim B'Yerushalayim Ipnei HaTaruvais. There was no shofar of kinim. Of course, there was a shofar of kinim. What Rabbi Yehuda means, there was no shofar of kinim of chayva in Yerushalayim. Why? Because there's a danger of taruvis, that there would be money of a chatos shemesa balem mixed in it. Why? Shema Thomas Achas, maybe one of the women who was a zavar yoledes, and who would die, v'nimtzu d'mei chatos meisus muravispen, and it would come out that there would be money of a woman whose chatos died, and then you would not be allowed to use the entire money. If the Mishlo Melech asks the Kasha, why don't we say that in this Taruvus we have most of the money is not from a woman who died, so therefore it should be Batal Beroiv? And he answers that the Matbei is a Dover Chashev, and a Dover Chashev is not Batal. So once it's not Batal, we would have to throw all the money Liyam Melech, just like the money of a woman who died, the money of that korban is thrown to the Yamamelech. Now that we have a taruvis, and some of it is mixed in, and some of that money is from a woman who died, so then it doesn't become batel, so the entire money would have to be thrown to Yamamelech. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that that money has to be given directly to a kohen, or the kinim that a woman is obligated in has to be given directly with a kohen, but not put into the shofaris. The shofaris were designated just for nedava, that we never have a problem with a demei chatas shemesu baleh, which would make a problem of having to throw all the money into the yam hamelech. The Gemara asked the kashan, this vatani, we learned in the brayso, ha'isha sh'amar harei alai kan, if a woman said that I have an obligatory nest, that I have to bring a chatas and an ola, mevia demei kan, v'nois nasoi b'shaifer, she could put it into the shaifer, v'oichelis b'kachim, and even though she was until this point a mechusar kippurim, she was missing kapara until she brings the carbon. However, once she puts the money into the shofar, that is, so then after, as the Takel Charetan points out, of course she's going to have to go to the mikveh, because without going to the mikveh she will remain a mechusar kippurim. And we learned that a mechusar kippurim is tzrichim tvila lekaidish. She's, in order to eat kachim, she's going to need tefillah. But once she designated the money to the shofar, and she goes to the mikveh, then she can eat kachim. Why? She doesn't have to worry whether that the kohanim were lazy, or some are Goyrus here, not Bohen, but Koyin, Chof instead of the Beis. She doesn't have to worry, Sheminis Atzel Koyin, because we can assume that the Koyin did what he was supposed to. He took the money and he bought obligatory bird korban for this woman, and therefore she's no longer a mechusa kippurim. It was nikrav on the mizbech, and she can go and eat kachim. The ena koyin, the koyin doesn't have to chayshish worry. Shema d'mechatos meisus muravispan. He doesn't have to worry when he takes the money that maybe there's money from someone who died. So, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue on this, so it seems Rabbi Yehuda agrees with this. So it'll be a steer in Rabbi Yehuda. Here, Rabbi Yehuda tells us that you, in our mission, that you don't mix money of an obligatory kan of a woman, you don't mix it in the shofar, because maybe the one woman will die, and then you'll have to throw out all the money into the Yam HaMelech. And here we have this brisa where Rabbi Yehuda does not argue with, and he seems to agree that you never have to worry that maybe some of this money that the Kohen is taking from the Shofar is money from a woman who died, and then it'll be Dmei Chat, the Shemei Subalayim. So more answers. Ki Kamrinin. When did Rabbi Yehuda say his din that's Bechatoi Shemei Subalayim Vadai? That of course, normally Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to worry that there was someone died, that the money of someone who died is mixed in. But Rabbi Yehuda is saying, I don't want to cause this problem to begin with. I don't want to have people putting in money of chatois, because maybe we will find out that somebody vadai died. It won't be a chash. We will find out that somebody actually died, and then we'll have a problem of this person's money being mixed in. If a woman goes over to a shofar and puts in the money, so the kohen who takes out the money, he doesn't have to worry that maybe there's somebody who died. Rabbi Yehuda was just trying to say, lechatchila, I don't want to have this money mixed in, because maybe we will find out at the end of the day that there was a woman who died. Now the Gemara says, but wait a second, we have a concept of breira. Vi amrinin, and the Gemara puts in the word here, breira, if we are going to use the concept of breira, so what's the problem? Even if we find out that a woman died, what's Rabbi Yehuda worried about? And he says that you shouldn't mix in vadai chiyuv of a kan. You shouldn't mix it in with the nedavos. Nivra dalet zuzi. Let's choose out of the shofar. We'll pick up four zuzim. V'nishdi benara. We'll throw it into the yam. V'iduch, and everything else that's in the shofar. Lishtri, because of the concept of the brayer, will say that huvra davar l'mafreya, that this money that I'm picking up out of the shofar and I'm throwing into the yam, that was the four zuzim which belonged to this dead woman, and the male, the rest are from people who have not died, and they will be kosher. So why, using the concept of brayer, what's my problem? What's Rabbi Yehuda's problem to begin with? The Gemara answers, "Harmina b'alma Rabbi Yehuda lesle brayer." No, Rabbi Yehuda himself, l'shitase, has a problem, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold to the concept of brayer. You can't say something works retroactively, and therefore I have to say that this won't work to take out the dalet zuzim and say this is from the woman who died. Rather, the money is mixed up. It has in it from the woman who died, and therefore, to avoid such a problem, Rabbi Yehuda says, don't put in obligatory kinim, the money for obligatory kinim, into the shofars which have the nedavos in them. However, the rabbanon hold of breira, and therefore the rabbanon say, even if we'll find out that the woman died, we'll take out the money, we'll throw it in the Yam HaMelech, and the rest of the money will be good. And therefore, the rabbanon sheet is that in the kinim they did actually put the money for obligatory ones as well. This is the hesber of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. It's totally whether we say yesh breira or ein breira. Continues the Gemara. We said in the Mishnah that if somebody donates eitzim stam, he has to give two gizri eitzim. Rabbi Yossi bar Bun Amar Rabbi Bo Bar Mamel. He said in the name of Rabbi Bo Bar Mamel, boy. He asked the Bnei Yeshiva the following question. Do you agree with this statement? Omar, if somebody said, not Harei Olai Eitz, somebody said Harei Olai Eitz, one Eitz, maybe Gizer Echad, and Echanami, he can bring just one Gizer. Do you think that's true or not? Omar Rab Lazar, Masnisa Omar Kain. Actually, what you're saying is a Mishnah. because we learned shezek carbon from the atzma, shezek carbon from the atzma. We learned from a Mishnah that each block of wood is a separate korban, and since atzma racha, the pasuk calls it a korban, and we can consider each block of wood by itself as a separate korban. Kahidus nidan, like that which we learned in a Mishnah in Yuman. Taman over there, we learned it in Yuma. Shnayim biyadim shnei gizreitzim. This refers to the two blocks that were placed on the mizbeach, on the marocha, in the afternoon, when the korbanos were brought in the afternoon. That two kohanim, each one having one block of wood in his hand, would bring it on top of the mizbeach to put on the atzei marocha on top of the mizbeach. So we see from this fact, we see that each one, as the Taklan Charetan says, Ulechein hoya koyin l'chol echad. Each one was considered a separate korban, and therefore there was a koyin carrying each one. So we see that if a person says eitz, we explain his words to mean he's referring to that one block of wood which each one of the two kohanim brought on the mizbeach in the afternoon, and therefore it's an acceptable korban, and therefore what Rabbi Yossi Berabun wanted to suggest is in fact valid. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar Uvyan, how thick were these blocks of wood? The thickness was an amma. Uvyan amma. What kind of amma? Ba'amma soy chekes. A smiling amma. Like when somebody opens his mouth and smiles, his mouth widens. So too, this was an amma which was wider. What does this mean? An amma is made of six tefachim, and each tefach is made of four etzbois. A normal amma is tight, four tight etzbois. However, an amma soy chekes, a smiling one, a laughing one, is six tefachim of an amma where the four etzbois are not tight. So that's a little bigger than the regular amma. So that's how wide this these gizri etzim were. We left out these four words which the gra is not gairis. Korban l'rabbis es etzim is left out. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi Omar, oivyan amma b'amma sechekes v'orchon their length, Ba'amma geduma, a shortened amma, and the Mefarshim say this refers to an amma which only had five tvachim in it. So according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, the length was not the same size as the thickness. Rabbi Chuni b'shem Rabbi Ami, kemin turtani. It was like the piece of wood that holds the scale. Various pshatim here, but one pshat is that he's trying to say just like this stick is holding the two parts of the two cups of the scale and trying to equalize it, so too the length was equal to the width, that in fact it was equal, and it was not, as the first Mandi Omer said, that the thickness and the length were not the same size. No, they were exactly the same size. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Lefish lo hayo makam amaracha ela amma lama, Lefikich lo hayo boy ela amma geduma. Since the area of the maracha was exactly one amma by one amma, so therefore to make sure that none of the wood sticks out beyond that amma, they made the measurement of the atzim maracha were an amma geduma of five tefachim, so it for sure would fit into that area. Vitani came, we learned like that. And we leave out the next four words, and we go to Amma Karka, V'Amma Kronais, V'Amma Marocha. The Marocha was an Amma. There were four pieces of the Mizbeach which were heightened on the corners, and these corners were each one Amma by one Amma. The Karkov is the walkway where the Kohanim walked around the Atzei Marocha on top of the Mizbeach, is called a Karkov. It too was one Amma. So therefore, if you have a square of the Mizbeach on top, which is five Ammas by five Ammas, and you take away a Karen on each side, so that leaves three, now the space is three Amis by three Amis, taking away that Amma, because they couldn't walk on the edges of the Mizbeach on top to Kanim, because they would bump into the Kronis on the four corners. Now you have a space left in the middle of three by three. Now the walkway was also an Amma in width, so if you take away the walkway which surrounded the one amma by one amma in the middle, so you have a walkway of three ammas long, three ammas wide, and one amma, three ammas long, and one amma in width, all around the one amma by one amma. So by taking away two more ammas from the top of the mizbeach for the place where they would walk around from the karkov, you're left in the middle. The center amma is one amma by one amma. That's the place for the atzim aracha, and therefore the wood that was put there was geduma, was only five tefachim. Each tef was only five tefachim, so that it would fit in and not stick out at all. Continues the Gemara, Levoina. It said in the Mishnah that if somebody donated Levoina, Layifchus Mekaimetz, the least that he could give is a Kaimetz. Where do we learn this from? Ne'amar Kan, it says by a regular Mincha, Askara. So a Levoina we find is brought with a Mincha, and we find the Levoina is included in that Parsha of a Levona coming, the frankincense coming with a Mincha. There it also includes a Levona brought itself as a Korban. So concerning the parsha of Mincha, it says the word askara. V'nemer lahalan, it says by lechem upon a askara. Ma askara amr lahalan, maloi kaimetz, af askara amr kan, maloi kaimetz. Just like that Mincha, the askara that's mentioned, legabi lechem upon him, is a kaimetz. So too, the levoina that's mentioned in relationship to the Mincha is also a kaimetz. Freid gemor ima askara amr lahalan shnei kumtzen. By the askara that's mentioned, connection with lechem upon him, there we find that it is two kumtzin. So af askara amur kan shnei kumtzin. So are we going to say the askara that's mentioned concerning the levoina by mincha is also two kumtzin, just like we found by the shnei kumtzin by the lechem upon him? Amrav illa klum lamdu lekaimetz ala mimincha schaita. We're not going to use the words lechem upon him. You're learning out the mincha from lechem aponim. But where do you learn out lechem aponim itself from? That kaimetz you learn out from minchas chayta. The limudim come from minchas chayta. Ma'alahal kaimetz achaser pasul, avkan kaimetz achaser pasul. Over there by minchas chayta, you only have one kaimetz. And just like the kaimetz by the minchas chayta, less than that is possible. So too, even though we're learning out from lechem aponim, and there's two kumtzin, but since the lechem aponim itself is learned out from minchas chayta, so a regular mincha and the levoin of a regular mincha, we don't have to worry that we're learning it out from lechem aponim, because it itself is learned from minchas chayta. There's only one kaimetz here by a regular mincha. The levoin of a regular mincha will also only be one kaimetz. Amar Rav Yaisa Milsa de Rav Illa, according we can derive from the words of Rav Illa that Amrod, we can say based on that, that I'm misnade levoina, if you're misnade levoina, mevia bekumtze shel kayin. You have to bring it with the exact kaimets of that kayin who is officiating that day, because you're learning it out from the minchas chayta. And just like over there, it was the kaimets of the kayin who is bringing the minchas chayta, so too, if you're learning it out according to the Rav Illa from the minchas chayta, then the levoina that this person is being misnadev has to be learned out also using the kaimetz of that kayin who's on duty. However, this is not agreed to by everybody, and we skip the next few words. Rab Chizkiya b'shem Rab Yirmiya, no, v'afilu b'karmetz abam, even the karmetz of the bam is also accepted, because even though we're learning it out from minchas chayta, we don't learn it out for all its lemudim, and therefore, legabi, this question, whose karmetz do you use? Do you use the kayans or the bailam? That we're not going to learn out from minchas chayta. By minchas chayta, it's the kaimetz of the kayin who's the chayta, who's bringing the minchas chayta, but gabe this halacha of the levoina, whose kaimetz is it? It could be it's the kaimetz of the baalim itself.